9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Discussing everything about the afterlife and spirit world.
Hey, 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 everybody, and welcome to another episode of Life After Life with me, Sandy Byrne. And in this episode, I want to talk to you about the different ways of getting evidence that life continues after death. So it's what we all want, isn't it? Ways to get the most compelling, the most convincing, the most authentic and believable evidence. And there's many ways that you can get it. I'm going to talk here about 10 different ways that you can go about getting evidence that life continues after death. Okay, so the first way that I'm going to talk about, obviously I'm a medium, so I'm going to talk about mediumship. Okay, so I mean, obviously having a reading with a medium is a great way to get evidence of life after death. Okay, because you know, during the reading, your medium is going to bring through evidence or information about your loved one in the spirit world, you know, things that the medium wouldn't have known. I mean, you should always go to a medium that you don't know, that doesn't know anything about you. Okay, I mean, if you're a superstar, you're probably not listening to my podcast, but if you were a superstar, I mean, and there's information googleable, if that's a word, about you, you know, there's certain information that is going to be available on people. But you know, you want to go to a medium that doesn't know the intricate little things, you know, like that your dad was left-handed, or he always carried a fountain pen in the top pocket of his shirt. You know, that, you know, your mother only wore pretty poly tights, you know, or pantyhose, as they're called in the States. You know, so different little personal things, maybe the last thing that a loved one said to you, or details about their death that was never released, or, you know, different things about them. Okay, so personal things, the things that aren't Googleable. Okay, I may just have coined a phrase there, I'm not sure. Okay, so nothing would ever beat an experience with a medium, in my personal belief, not just because I'm a medium, but I also like to get medium readings. I've also lost loved ones, and you know, the evidence that can come through. I spoke in a previous episode about, you know, the difference between proof and evidence. Okay, I can't force anybody to believe that there is a life after death, but I definitely in readings can provide evidence to show that, you know. And as well as talking about what your loved one or who they were, I beg your pardon, when they were here on earth, and talking about, you know, who they're being reunited with in the spirit world, they can also tell us about things that have been going on for us, things that have been happening around us. A lot of spirit come through and talk about maybe about their funeral, maybe somebody sang a song for them or read a poem or, you know, whatever. You know, and they can come through and talk about all this stuff that wouldn't be known necessarily by other people. Okay, so after a medium reading, you'll know that, you know, not only is your loved one in the spirit world, but they're also around you. In short, I suppose that they haven't just fallen into a black hole or into an abyss, you know, that they are around. And, you know, don't take somebody else's word for it. Go and experience it for yourself. Okay, go and have a reading, because believing what somebody tells you is one thing. And of course, you can believe what someone close to you tells you. But there is no substitute for knowledge. And you only get that by experiencing something by yourself. Okay. The second way that I want to talk to you about is spirit drawings. So again, this is part of the mediumship process, okay, because they're always done by a medium. So spirit drawings are done by mediums who have the ability to draw, okay. Unfortunately, I never got past stick men and stick women, but there are very, very talented artists out there. I know when I've met her and I attended a demonstration of her spirit drawings, Lynn Cottrell from the UK. And she is absolutely amazing. So basically what happens is it's having a mediumship reading, okay? But the person who's giving the reading will draw the person that they're seeing, okay, or communicating with. So this could be a loved one, it could be a spirit guide or something like this, okay? So you get a very accurate drawing, and I've seen some of these drawings. I haven't personally got one for myself. As I say, when I attended, it was just a demonstration of mediumship. So it's something that's on my list to do. But I have seen drawings that other people have got, and they can be scarily accurate, you know. And in a lot of cases, I won't say in every case, but in a lot of cases, the drawing that's done mirrors a picture that the person has had of their loved one. Okay, so it could just be like a copy of a photo of them that you have on your wall at home. And that in itself is extra evidence, because not only are they drawing, you know, a visual of what the person looks like, but they're mirroring a picture that you have on your wall at home that, you know, the spirit artist cannot have seen. So it really is a great way to get extra evidence that life does exist after death, okay? The third way I want to talk about is past life regression, okay? So basically this is generally, well, it's carried out by a hypnotist, okay, or a hypnotherapist. And so they basically, they relax you and help you to bring forward memories of one or maybe even more of your past lives, okay? Because as we all know, listening to this program, that, you know, we have been here before, and, you know, more than likely many, many times, you know, even hundreds of times before, we have lived many lifetimes, and we bring our experience from one life to the next, okay? Not necessarily, you know, that we remember everything, but our soul does. And before we come back to this life, we have made a decision of as to the things that we are, you know, letting ourselves experience or learn in this lifetime. Okay, so to go back to a past life regression is a really good way of, you know, I suppose, understanding that there is life after death. Okay, it's another life, if you like. Okay. You know, we might have been a different gender, or, you know, lived in a different country, spoke a different language. We can have had very, very different lives. Okay. But going back and finding out what you did in a past life is a great way to understand that life continues after our physical death. Okay. The fourth way is our memories of past lives. Okay, and you will find a lot of people, there's many, many books and documentaries out there about people who remember something of their past life. Okay, so one that springs to mind for me is, and you know, this does happen a lot with children, okay, because I guess because this world hasn't yet affected them, okay, and it hasn't, you know, yet affected them, and they, you know, still remember, I suppose, a lot of their experiences. And there was a young boy who remembered his past life. So he started telling his parents. I think they had gone to maybe some like an open day where there was lots of old planes and stuff, you know, back from the war or whatever. And he, you got to sit in the plane, and he knew the types of planes and just seemed to instinctively know what the different controls did. And so his parents asked him about this, and he said, oh, well, you know, in my last life, I was a pilot, you know, and he told them his name and all this. And so they looked it up, and there was an upcoming reunion of all the soldiers that were still living from that regiment. And so they decided they'd take him to it. And when he walked into the reunion, he knew an awful lot of the older gentlemen that were there. And he went around and he was having chat with them. Do you remember the time we did this? Do you remember the time we did that? And all that kind of stuff. And they couldn't believe it. And he was able to talk about things, you know, that they'd never spoken about after they came home from war and whatnot. And he even got to go. His parents took him on a boat trip out to lay flowers. He told them where he had crashed into the sea, and he got taken there. And as soon as they got to the spot, even without being told by anybody, you know, he didn't know anything about coordinates. He was a young child. And as soon as he got there, he said, "This is it. This is where I crashed." And he put the water or the flowers on the water. And that's on YouTube, you know. There was a documentary about it, and he's an amazing little young man. So that's, you know, talking or listening to people about their memories of their past lives. You know, and I'm sure some of them have come from past life regression, but, you know, some of them really do remember their lives. So again, go and research that. It gives us some very, very compelling evidence that, you know, there is more to life. Okay, so number five is life between lives regression. Okay, so I spoke about this in a lot of detail with Vondi Lozano in last week's episode of the podcast. That's episode number 37, if you haven't heard that. So in short, life between lives regression is, it's a bit like past life regression, but it's not going back to a past life. It's going back to the time that you spent in the spirit world between the end of one physical life and the beginning of another physical life when you're reincarnated. So it's that time you spend with your loved ones, with your spirit guides, with your soul groups, with your soul group in the spirit world. And, you know, this can be great because, you know, you can investigate or even solve a lot of the issues and why you're facing those issues in this life, because you can go back and figure out why you made the agreement that you needed to learn this lesson, or why you're having to experience something in this life, because this was your arrangement or your agreement with your spirit guides and your soul group as to why you would come back and redo this life over once more. Okay. And also, if you're a reader, Michael Newton, and Vondi spoke about his books a lot during episode number 37. And they're highly recommended by everybody who's read them, particularly Journey of Souls, which I think is his first book. Have a look at those if you're looking for some great evidence of life after life. Now, we also have past life retrieval, okay, which is different to past life regression, which I spoke about above. So past life retrieval is where, you know, especially someone like me who's not very comfortable with being hypnotized, okay. So in past life retrieval, you get somebody to go to the spirit world and look through your Akashic records and find out for you what's gone on in a previous life. So I discussed this with Corby Mitlide in much more detail in episode 31 of the podcast. Okay. If you haven't heard that, go back and listen to Corby. She is amazing. And she told us a great story about a mother who had come to her because there was issues with her son, but one of them was the fact that from the age of three, her son always called her Sarge, and she could never figure out why. And so she went for past life regression with Corby, and as it turned out, the mother was in the army with the soul who was now her son in this life. Okay, he wasn't her son in the past life, but they did share experiences together in that her son was a soldier that was wounded on the beach, and her past life where she was in the army, she was a gentleman, she was in the army, and she was actually a sergeant, and she was his sergeant, and she pulled him off the beach and made sure he got the medical aid that he needed in order to survive. So they were reunited in this lifetime, and he still calls her Sarge. Okay, and he didn't even understand why. But that was something that Corby was able to figure out for them during past life retrieval. So this is another great way, okay, to find out, you know, what your relationship was with your family members, friends, because we are reincarnated within the same soul groups that we had previously. Okay, so it's a great way to find out, you know, one that you did have a past life with these this person or these people, and two, in what capacity that was and how it's affecting this life for you. Okay, so that's past life retrieval. So we have a few there that are quite similar. Number three was past life regression. Number four, past life memories. Number five, life between life regressions. And number six, past life retrieval. Okay, so don't mix up the different when we're talking about past life or life between lives. Okay. The next thing that I want to talk about, and you know, I should do a whole episode on this, which is near-death experiences. I just cannot get enough of reading about people's near-death experiences. There are millions, I would say, of accounts from people who have had a near-death experience. So generally this happens somebody when something sudden or unexpected happens, okay? So they might have had a car crash, they might have died maybe by suicide or struck by lightning or something, you know? So somewhere where somebody goes to the brink of death but is brought back or saved or sent back because it's not their time. Body kind of goes into shock or whatever, or the heart stops. And for a period of time, they are essentially dead, if it's okay to use that word. They are essentially dead, but they come back and they tell us about what they have experienced, okay? So as I say, there are many, many stories. And look, we can say that... And, you know, I hear skeptics giving different arguments for different things all the time. And they say, well, you know, I've read a couple of near-death experiences. I could make it up and just say the same thing, because they all do recount a very, very similar experience, you know, of feeling love, of, you know, seeing their loved ones, of, you know, traveling through a tunnel of light. So, you know, the same experience is relayed by people over and over and over. However, you know, we could say that now we've got the internet and we've got the television and everything. We hear all these things. But what about going back? OK, I'm not going to ask you to read the Bible or any other religious text. But there is a book. It's called the Book of Enoch, which I believe is a Hebrew text. And this was written hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. And it tells stories of near-death experiences. And, you know, you go back to that time, people really only knew what was going on in their own little village or area. They didn't know what was happening on the other side of the world. So, like, this wasn't being made up by people. It was genuine experiences, okay? And even in the Book of Revelation in the Bible, there's some stories told in there about near-death experiences. So it's not just a new phenomenon. This has been happening for thousands of years, okay? And each one of them, they, as I say, they talk about what they're seeing in the spirit world, but at the same time they're talking about being aware of what's going on around them. You know, people that die maybe on the operating table, they're always aware of the doctors and nurses rushing to save their lives, of maybe being shocked back into life or all this kind of stuff. And it's like they're outside their body and they see all this going on, okay? So there's so many you know, documented stories of this. Go and have a read of some, okay? Watch interviews with people who have experienced it. This is such strong evidence that there is more out there, because not one of those people, even people in comas, don't ever come back and talk about not being aware of anything, okay? And it's the same with the near-death experience. They never say, well, I wasn't aware of anything. You know, that they literally clinically flatline and they still have an awareness or a sentience of what's going on around them, okay? And anybody that you read about, anybody that's, you know, relayed their story about, you know, a near-death experience, they've all changed their perspective afterwards, okay? This has, like, brought a new kind of zest for life back to them, you know, and they're more spiritual and they're definitely less afraid of dying, okay? They all say that there's no more fear because they know that they will be reunited and that they will be surrounded by the love of their loved ones, spirit guides, etc. Okay, so you know, really interesting reading if you have an interest in that. Another one, number eight, that I'm going to talk about is deathbed visions, okay? So people that have been with their loved ones at the moment of death, if you've ever had that amazing experience to spend someone's last moments with them, be aware of, you know, what they're seeing or what they're looking at or how they're acting, because there's so much evidence to be got in those last few moments or days or whatever. I had the absolute honor to be with a family member who left this life during 2021. And, you know, in the last few days, she talked consistently about a bird watching her while she was in her bed. And, you know, she talked about this bird coming down to comfort her and watching over her and making sure that she was okay, you know, and obviously none of us could see this bird. I have another family member. I wasn't with her at the time of passing, but for 2 weeks before her passing, she was in hospital. She had cancer and she lived in the UK, so I wasn't able to be with her all of the time. And she spoke for 2 weeks before her passing about seeing a girl, a young girl, sitting in the chair in the corner of the room, just watching her, you know. And she wasn't scared of this girl. She said it brought her a very calming feeling to know that there was somebody there waiting for her. But none of us obviously could see this little girl, but she wouldn't let any of us sit in that chair because it was for the little girl. Okay, so definitely worth having a look into. The other one, and I talk a lot about this one because it just amazes me, is the guy who invented Apple, Steve Jobs. Unfortunately, he passed away after suffering from pancreatic cancer a few years ago. And his sister, I believe she worked for the New York Times or some such organization, and she was with him when he passed, and she talked about him being in and out of consciousness kind of for a couple of days beforehand. Any of us who have had a loved one with cancer, we know that there's such a fatigue with people, and they're so exhausted and they drift in and out of sleep. And she said, you know, just before he passed, that he woke up and he looked around at everybody that was around him, and then he just looked straight past her over her shoulder. And so there was nothing behind her at all, only a wall, but he just kept staring. And he just said three times, he said, "Oh wow, oh wow, oh wow," and then he was gone. Okay, so whatever he could see in that moment of his death, it just amazed him beyond comprehension. So, you know, these kind of stories. Now, I know that Steve Jobs, and we're taking it as a secondhand story from his sister, but if you have the opportunity to spend those last moments with a loved one, do, because there definitely is evidence to be had. Now, there is a book that I can recommend because I've read it a couple of times and I just love it. It's called Deathbed Visions, okay? And it's by a gentleman called Sir William Barrett. And he was a 19th century, I'm not sure, was he a doctor or a physicist or something? It was definitely something in the area of science. But he spent many years, you know, talking to people who were with their loved ones at the moment of passing. Again, I take you back to a time where people didn't have television or internet or anything. They didn't have other people's experiences to you know, open up their minds or to give them an idea of what to talk about. These were very true and very honest accounts of what their loved ones said or saw at the moment of their passing. Okay, so again, it's called Deathbed Visions by Sir William Barrett, and I will put the details for that book in the description box below. Number nine is dream visitations, okay? And it's something that comes up time and time again when I'm talking to people about spirituality and spirit connection, okay? So dreams are the easiest way for spirit to communicate with us, because it's the only time in the 24-hour period that we are completely relaxed and not thinking of a million things at once. So our mind is effectively open for them to come in and communicate with us. But they can give such vivid information in these dreams that people are left without any doubt or question that they have had a visit from their loved one, okay? And they can give such accurate information to the person, you know, people talk about these dreams for 50 years afterwards, you know, so if you're getting a visit from a loved one in spirit, you know it. And the fact that they would come and visit us, you know, and give us information, it kind of lets us know that there's more to life, that there's still an awareness or a sentience of life after death, okay, that they are able to come back and talk to us. Okay, number 10 is, I've written down parapsychologists, okay, so these are people who investigate the afterlife and people's experiences, pictures, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, there are so many books out there written by different parapsychologists, paranormal investigators, afterlife investigators, whatever they want to call themselves, okay? The one that I would highly recommend, if you can get any of this gentleman's books, it's a guy called D. Scott Rogo. Again, I'll post some links in the description box attached to this podcast for you. So D. Scott Rogo was a very well-renowned parapsychologist in kind of the 70s, I believe. And he, unfortunately, came home from work one day. He was only 40 years old at his apartment in New York City, which was being burgled at the time. And unfortunately, he was stabbed to death by the burglars. So he only got 40 years on this earth. But in that time, he did so much investigation to the afterlife. And he has several books published. My favorite one of his books, I've read a few. My favorite one is Phone Calls from the Dead. Okay. And this is where people have had phone calls from people who were dead at the time the phone call was made. So it proves to us that spirit can actually manipulate energy. Now, because of the timing of these books being written, these were all written in a time before we had mobile phones. So they would have all been those landline phones, but some absolutely amazing testimonies from people who received these phone calls. I do remember one of them. There was a lady whose husband was a bank manager. And, you know, back in the day where you moved, your whole family moved to the town where your husband was working. And so they were, I think they weren't that long married, and they moved into a new house. So her husband was at work and she was at home, you know, setting up the house and whatnot. And so she got a phone call from her husband to let her know that he'd been delayed and that he wouldn't be home for dinner, but that he loved her. And so she said, oh, that's fine, I'll keep it warm or whatever. And he said, oh, there's no need, just remember that I love you. So she hung up the phone. And just after she hung up the phone, she remembered that the phone wasn't connected. She was actually at home waiting for the phone technician to come and connect up the new house phone. So she double checked, and sure enough, there was no dial tone on the phone. And not long after the phone call, her doorbell rang. And as it happened, her husband had been killed in the course of a bank robbery. I think he was shot by robbers who were trying to rob him. So that's just one of the many, many stories in that book. They can be quite difficult to come by. The books of D. Scott Rogo's that I have, I got in antique bookshops. So do have a search if you're lucky enough to have a secondhand or antique bookshop near you. So it's D, his initial D, then Scott Rogo. Okay, check it out in the description box attached here. And lastly, number 11, I've put down here, listen to your children. Okay. I suppose this relates to something I discussed earlier, past life memories. But, you know, listening to your children, they will absolutely astound you with some of the stories that they will tell you. Again, especially younger children, because they haven't yet got a filter to know that that was a different life than this one. You know, you've often heard stories, I'm sure you've read them or seen them on YouTube, of children who maybe sit down and have an amazing conversation with their grandfather or grandmother about something that happened 50 or 60 years ago. And you're thinking there's no way they could remember that. But don't forget, we are reincarnated with the same soul group all the time. So they will inevitably be talking about a past life memory that they have in common with the grandmother. So I actually have an experience to share with you from my own son, Charlie, who is currently at the time of recording this is 14 years old. But when he was just a toddler, you know, just learning to put words together, he was here, like we lived in this house at the time. We moved in here when my elder son was almost three. And there's 8 years between the two boys. So Charlie was about two or maybe three at this stage, heading towards three. And he was in the conservatory one day. And I just realized that he'd gone quiet. And I walked over to the door and I said, "Are you okay?" And he was knocking on the wall. And there's a very small wall in the conservatory, obviously, because it's mostly window. So there's a small wall below the window, about two blocks high. And he was knocking on the wall. And I said to him, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm looking for brother's Dodie." Okay. Now, he always called his brother at that age brother because he couldn't say Donica's name. And when we were building this house, like anybody building a house, we were excited about it. And we used to come out every few days to see the progress. And one day we came out and they were just building the first couple of levels of the wall. And my eldest son, had a dummy or a soother at the time, which he called a Dodie. And he dropped it in between the cavity, right in that place in the conservatory wall. Now, I'd forgotten all about it because obviously it was years before. And then, like when he said it, I had thought about it and I remembered. And Charlie never had a soother, never had a dummy. And I thought, you know, how did he even know what a Dodie was? Because it's not a word we ever used with him. Donica used to call his dummy a Dodie. So he told us, I said, you know, "What are you looking for?" And he said, "I'm looking for brother's Dodie. He left it in the wall." You know, and I kind of took a step back and I was completely flabbergasted. And I sat on the couch and I was thinking, oh my God, he saw that day when Donica dropped his dummy into the wall. And so I sat back and I thought, wow. And next thing, he came running at me. And you know, with a child, they'll launch at you from about three steps back and knock you over. And he jumped at me on the couch and gave me the tightest cuddle. And I said to him, I said, "What was that for?" I said, "I'm the luckiest mammy in the world. I don't know what I could have done to get to deserve a hug like that." And he kind of leaned back, you know, as children do, and gave me this like scowl kind of look. He kind of half closed his eyes, you know, and you're kind of squinting and he's looking at me as if I'd said something mad. And he said to me, "Kevin told me to give that hug to you." And I was like, "Who's Kevin?" Because, you know, this child was very young. He was, you know, going to creche when I was at work and stuff. And he said, I said, "Is Kevin somebody at, you know, a play school?" And he said, "No," he said, "you know Kevin that died off the motorbike." And Kevin is the gentleman that I always talk about that died when I was a teenager. He crashed his motorbike. And he said to me that, "You know Kevin." And now, like, I hadn't told him about Kevin. He was very young and whatnot. And I said to him, "How do you know Kevin?" And he said, "I met Kevin when I still lived in heaven," he said. "And Kevin taught me that I was a good boy for choosing you as my mammy because you were the best mammy in the whole world. And he was right." And then he gave me a big kiss. And he said, "Kevin said to give that to you too." So, like, to me, that was just like just amazing. That he was remembering, yes, he was remembering his life between lives, if you like, in the spirit world. But at the same time, you know, to give me that validation that he had met Kevin in the spirit world and that, you know, he's part of my soul group. He was meant to be here. It's just the most amazing feeling. So when your children are talking about that, or you have nieces or nephews or whatever, it don't have to be your own children, but when they're talking about something, please listen to them and don't disregard it, okay? Because I don't believe in imaginary friends. I don't think there's anything, you know, because I had a little friend when I was a child, the first years, even going back to before I can remember. And he was with me all the time. And nowadays, I guess he'd be called an imaginary friend. But at the time, he was just my spirit friend. You know, he was just a little boy who died young and he spent the first years with me. And as I got older and my logic started to kick in and I started to realize that I shouldn't be seeing him, I shouldn't be talking to him and all this, I pushed him away. Okay, so do listen to your children. I'm not going to say encourage them, but one thing that my mother did was when I was very little and I used to talk about seeing a spirit and seeing a man or a woman or whatever, my mother would, you know, she always had pictures of like her grandparents and whatever around the house. And she'd never point to me and say, is that the man you saw or is that the woman you saw? She'd just leave the photos out around so that I could see them. And every now and again, I'd go, that's the woman I saw on the stairs or that's the man I saw in the garden or whatever. And I'd be able to pick them out. So let your children talk. Write down what they say because you'll forget it. Okay, write it down and it will mean something to you. And it's one of the most, I think it's the most compelling evidence that there's more to life than just what we're living today. And, you know, isn't that all that we're looking for? We're looking for purpose in life. We're looking for evidence that our loved ones are going to be waiting for us when our time comes to cross over to spirit. Okay, so just to recap before I let you go. So the first way was mediumship. Number two was spirit drawings. Number three was past life regression. Number four, past life memories. Number five, life between lives regression. Number six, past life retrieval. Number seven, near-death experiences. Number eight, deathbed visions. And number nine, dream visitations. Number 10 was parapsychologists and number 11 was listening to your children. So guys, whatever way you can get evidence, please do research it, please look into it and please read as much as you have time for, okay? I hope you got some value from this. Leave me a comment either here or on Facebook or on Instagram and let me know what you thought. And if there's any topic that you would like to see me cover in a future episode, please let me know. If you want more information, please do subscribe to my Patreon. My Patreon is patreon.com/lifeafterlifewithsandyburn. And I've published some masterclasses. We do live readings. We have a private Discord channel. And of course, you can catch every episode of the podcast in video format. If like me, you're someone who likes to connect more with the visual than just the audio. Okay, so all that is on there for you. So again, it's patreon.com/lifeafterlifewithsandyburn. And I will put the link in the description box attached to this podcast. So guys, thank you for joining me. And I will see you in the next episode of Life After Life. And until then, keep well and stay safe.
Discussing everything about the afterlife and spirit world.